Thanks for listening in here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Kids are all back in school for, I think, everywhere in the state right now. I want to talk about back-to-school skin care. And, of course, you may or may not be in school. You may have a skin issue as well. And certainly, if you do, I hope you'll join in with your questions and comments. Maybe you suffered from skin ailments as a young person. Are your children having any skin problems? Are you having skin issues that you'd like Dr. Niles' opinion on? I hope you'll join us. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or a comment there. And Dr. Dick Niles, thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Good morning, Larry. It's nice to be with you also.
Well, here we are in September. Kids from kindergarten through college, back in school at this point. Let's talk about some of the skin issues that young people deal with. Acne, of course, a real problem for young people. As much as anything, the emotional pain it can cause. And I'm wondering, what causes it to begin with?
So acne is a genetic problem. I mean, some people get it and some people don't. But most kids, maybe 85% of kids, get it along the way. Either it's a little bit or quite a bit. And you're right, the emotional things that are in the background with it, I don't want to go to school because I look this way or that way or the other way, whether that's acne or a whole host of other things, can complicate kids' lives. We do have simple things to take care of it, simple treatments on the surface and sometimes orally. It's good to know that the acne is not the fault of the patient. It's not because they eat the wrong food or they don't wash enough. It's because of certain specific genetic things that then go on to cause the acne pimples to form.
Okay, so it's not because they're eating too much candy or...
Right. It would sort of be great if that was it, but are you really going to, you know, with this new school lunch thing that you've seen in print, are we really going to get kids to eat vegetables and not the other stuff? I don't think that's going to happen. So even if it was true, it's still not going to make any difference.
Cindy in West Salem has a question for you. Hi, Cindy.
Hello.
Good morning.
Hi. Yeah, I just had a question about my daughter is 12 years old, and she's had, like, it looks like a pimple, just one, on her nose, but it's been there for like a year, and she washes. I bought all sorts of different things. She's got that electric, you know, the battery-operated bristle thing and everything, and it just doesn't go away. So I was wondering what it could be.
So is it a skin-colored bump, or is it does it have a blackhead in it?
It's not a blackhead. It sometimes is a little more pink, but it's not a blackhead.
Okay. Well, one can have a microscopic blackhead, and all acne pimples have to have at least a microscopic blackhead, if not a big or macroscopic blackhead. At 12, there's sometimes a little ridge sort of horizontally on the nose where people will get some tiny white bumps that are basically blackheads. I think one of the treatments that one could do, depending on what it really is I'll sometimes take a little needle and try and just slit the surface and pop out the contents, and there's oftentimes a little cyst inside. It doesn't sound like it would be anything contagious because it's been there for such a long time without getting more spots. So I think it's probably just a little gummed up pore if it's not a regular little mole.
Okay, one time she did, you know, pop it or whatever, but then it went away for maybe a month and came right back, same exact place, and she doesn't have them anywhere else, so I just thought...
Well, I think what I would do is probably each night put on a little over-the-counter benzoyl peroxide gel, and be careful because it'll bleach your pillow, but put on a little bit and maybe a Band-Aid just to help hold it in there, and maybe that will help unroof it, and it'll go away.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that's worth definitely worth a try. And Cynthia in Racine, hi, thank you for calling.
Hello. Yes, I'm a grandmother, and I have two beautiful granddaughters, 5 and 8, who have what the pediatrician referred to as chicken skin on the backs of their arms. It apparently is dry skin that doesn't exfoliate itself and creates these little bumpy areas on their arms.
Yeah.
And I was wondering what we could do for it without concerning ourselves with lots of medical treatment.
Yeah.
Well, there isn't lots of medical treatment for it, and you don't need lots of medical treatment for it. It's called keratosis pilaris, and pilaris refers to the hair follicle, and keratosis is a thickened clog in the hair follicle. So by using, so kids get, some people have the right genes to have this, back of the arms, sometimes thighs, and sometimes cheeks before puberty, and then it goes away at puberty because their skin gets oily and the whole thing is gone. So the idea is to not dry the skin out on the back of the arms, and the way that I would do that is to use Dove bar soap, and then I would make sure that we're not scrubbing hard back there because that'll just dry things out. We don't want to dry things out. After the shower or the bath, while you're standing there dripping wet, take just a couple drops of baby oil after you wipe off the skin with your hand. So get rid of a little bit of the water. Put a couple of drops of baby oil on, then dry off. And that generally takes care of it. It needs to be little by little, and you'll get a little bit better all the time when you do it. If you're not making enough progress, there are a couple of creams. One is Retin-A, which is the old blackhead cream, which can help unclog pores, and another is Lacrhydrin, which can help also.
Is the Lacrhydrin like the amylactin lotion?
It's okay. It's not the greatest. But without the other things, it really doesn't do anything.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep.
Sure.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Dr. Dick Niles, our guest, talking about skin care, and Vicki in Jefferson, thank you for calling.
Hi. I'm an over 60-year-old woman who had developed a skin rash somewhat in the folds areas in certain parts of my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I called my doctor, wanted to see her. She figured it was possibly a yeast infection, so she put me on an antifungal cream. Actually, the one she suggested was a generic, and so it was a foot.
Is Lamisil or something like that?
No, it's actually got I've got the antifungal cream here that I got, which has the tulfenate.
Okay.
Naphtate.
Okay.
Tulnaphtate. Yep. And I think that's the basic ingredient.
Sure.
That's been used. And so that is finally clearing up. But yesterday, I noticed on my front shin area of my leg that there was these big, huge red spots. And I'm sure I would have noticed it before if it was developing. It might have been little dots before. And I thought I was just banging into things, which I do. But they're really big, like at least an inch, areas of red, and then they have the clearer, and they're not itching. They don't hurt. If I press them, they don't hurt. And I called her today, and she says, well, just try the same cream on them and see what happens, and if we have to see you, we'll see you. I just was concerned because I couldn't think of why it would be there, but I was thinking I did wear some socks because she recommended I try to wear cotton.
You're not going to get a yeast infection on your shins. And under the folds of skin, you can have two problems. One is, which is an amazing thing to most people, is that you can have localized dandruff. And dandruff or red scaly skin can be underneath there. The yeast infection is usually a raw area with little pimply things at the edge. So sometimes it's both.
I was sweating a lot,
yeah,
and that was partly from my meds and partly, I think, menopausal.
So sometimes you can use a dandruff shampoo because dandruff shampoos also help with some fungi and yeast. So Nizoral shampoo to wash with might be a good way to do it with some powder to help keep it dry. Mm-hmm. And I think the shins has to be a separate problem. It's not possible to know what that is without seeing it.
Okay.
Good luck. Thank you very much for calling.
Thank you.
Barbara in Janesville. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hello.
What can we do for you?
Well, I have developed a very dry scalp, and I periodically give myself scalp treatments, and the dryness returns. I mean, it's
yep.
It's severe. And when I got my hair cut, I asked the beautician, I said, you know, what would you recommend? And she recommended some things, but she thought maybe it was the shampoo I was using didn't have the right pH balance. So I guess I need some advice.
Okay. Well, the advice is that you cannot, and I'll underline that again, cannot have dry scalp. That almost never exists. You can have scaly extra skin, which is localized dandruff or psoriasis, and the use of various shampoos can be helpful. Now, the hairdressers, and excuse me, the hairdressers will want to sell you more different kinds of shampoo that are for dry scalp. And the implication is, well, you shouldn't shampoo very much if the scalp is dry. But the opposite is true. A dandruff shampoo used frequently should be very helpful, and sometimes you need a cortisone solution also to help calm it down. But, again, dry scalp doesn't exist.
Hmm.
Do you recommend any products?
Well, sure. There are various shampoos, and they could all, you could give them any of them a try, like Nizoral or T-Gel or Head & Shoulders make some shampoos also.
Hmm. All right.
Okay, because, you know, this is in spots beyond dryness. I mean, there's like sometimes big clumps of, for lack of a better word, dandruff that comes off.
Yeah, well, that is the right word.
Yeah. It is the right word because it is dandruff then, Dr. Niles.
Yeah, dandruff or more severe dandruff is maybe psoriasis. Lots of dermatologists would like to split dandruff or seborrheic dermatitis from psoriasis and treat it differently, but I think one's just the little sister of the other and no big deal.
Yeah, so in other words, again, your recommendation is?
To shampoo frequently with a dandruff shampoo, and if you're not making enough progress, then you might need a prescription cortisone watery solution to put in.
All right.
Okay, fine. I will try that. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call as well. Dr. Dick Niles, our guest today, and we're zeroing in a little bit today on back-to-school skincare, and certainly we've talked about acne, and I'm sure we'll get into some other warts or another issue. But we'll look forward to hearing what you have to say and what your questions are as well. So please join in either by phone or email or Facebook right here on the Ideas Network. Skin is your body's largest organ, and I'm not so sure you and I always do the best job of taking care of it. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today on the Ideas Network. With the start of the school year, young people are dealing with a variety of skin conditions. Some are just minor, but others are a whole lot more serious. Dermatologist Dr. Dick Niles has some great information on how to care for your skin and what helps and what might hurt it, too. Did you have acne or eczema as a young person? Or do your kids deal with warts or psoriasis? You can join in with your questions and comments by calling us at 1-800-642-1234. Don't forget to go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or comment there. Please click like while you're there. And if you do that, we'll send you regular updates on upcoming show topics. That's at The Larry Mueller Show. Click like while you're there. We'll be back right after this look at the news. Pretty amazing to think that our skin is all that stands between us and the outside world. It protects us and screens out potentially harmful materials, a very delicate organ nonetheless. Larry Mueller here. We often take our skin for granted until there's a problem, and we're lucky to have Dr. Dick Niles with us today to give advice on these issues. He practices in Oconomowoc and Watertown. Dr. Dick Niles, always a pleasure to have you with us.
Always great to be with you, Larry.
We have many callers online. We had a Facebook question I wanted to get to from Rachel, who says, my son has a small, I think it's cutis aplasia on his scalp. It's a little smaller than a dime. Would you recommend having this removed? We're concerned about skin cancer in the future.
I don't think there'll be a chance of skin cancer. And if it's on a if it's on the scalp, it's going to be covered by hair for the most part. If it's cosmetically important, then you might want to have that area cut out and stitches put in, but it seems a bit much for a spot that may not have much hair and it's fairly small.
Okay, so but not a cancer risk.
No, I don't think so.
Elizabeth in Merton, Wisconsin. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
Well, I was diagnosed a few years ago with rosacea, and I tried the prescription wash that they gave me, had sulfur in it, with really not a lot of success. And I'm just kind of wondering if there's any other treatments or any other things that I can try. And I also have some clear flesh tone, like bumps under, right under my eyes on the sensitive part. And I'm wondering if that's related to the rosacea.
Okay. So my first question is, without using the word rosacea, tell me what the problem is with your face.
I flush. I get very pink cheeks. And then I also have, it appears like little broken capillaries, little blood vessels or something, right, little lines, as well as they're almost like a pimple look that has a little bit of a white tip to them. Not a mm-hmm. white head, but...
Yeah.
Okay. So the problem generally is that rosacea, the people that make the products for rosacea have expanded the definition of rosacea to include so many things, especially the blood vessel thing that you bring up, the flushing that you bring up. Neither one of those things can be taken care of by any medicine. But they sell 10 times as much of it because they include this definition that's much broader than what dermatologists would say. Rosacea is pimply, red, scaly skin in the middle part of your face. Plus, you can flush easily with certain things like hot, spicy foods, thermally hot foods, embarrassment, some alcohol, a bunch of things like that. You can have the blood vessels that you can easily see. They're not broken. They're just big in diameter. And then you can have other things where a nose grows bigger or you get inflammation of the eyelid margin. So if you're trying to get rid of the blood vessels, nothing will take care of that except some sort of a laser. And the flushing might be helped with a laser, and the flushing might be helped with some oral medicines. But again, the drug companies, the companies that make the product, have expanded the definition to include even little blood vessel things, which cannot be helped. So you're sort of stuck.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Elizabeth. John in Toma. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I just had kind of a tip and interested in comments. I used to get, since I was a teenager, a cold sore maybe once a year. And I started taking lysine after a tip from a friend, and now I don't usually get one, and if I do, it's nowhere near as severe. It's hardly noticeable now. So, interested in your comment.
Hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't work at all. That would be my comment. this is long ago people have thought that lysine would help. Obviously, the people that sell lysine thinks it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. If you had one a year and now you don't have one a year, that's not a huge endorsement for a product. And lysine is an amino acid. It's part of a protein. We tend to have our cold sores get fewer and fewer as time goes on, and they get less and less of a problem. So I think that whether you took it or not, you'd be the same way.
Hmm. There you go. Thanks, John. Pat in Eagle River. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. I have a problem where there's about the size of the palm of your hand on my scalp, and it's red and flaky, and I've tried all kinds of shampoos, Selsun Blue and hydrocortisone cream to stop the itching and the redness. Is there anything else I can do?
Probably nothing that you can do without any help from a physician, but it sounds like you have a spot of a big spot of dandruff or a small spot of psoriasis, and you would need a stronger kind of cortisone on the surface. Shampoos are probably not going to be all that helpful, but there are cortisone solutions and gels and foams, and there are other non-cortisone things that have vitamin D derivatives in them and a few other possibilities. So a dermatologist should be able to help you find that to
so
make that
better.
There's
nothing at the health food store or anything that
No.
You can use a doctor.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I know.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Facebook question from Brittany. I'm wondering about razor bumps under the arms and the bikini area, how to be able to shave but not break out terribly.
It is a problem because the skin is sort of loose in those areas. It's not as tight. So when a man shaves his cheeks, they're usually tight unless you're too old and wrinkly, but they're usually pretty tight, and you can get a good close shave going downwards. But on the neck by the Adam's apple, you have to be a little bit careful, and if you go up against the grain, then you get all the razor bumps also because that razor is cutting into the skin. So with the armpits, you know, if you're not going to have laser hair removal or something like that, which works fine, but it may be that you just can't get quite so close using a multi-bladed razor can be helpful, but you just may not be able to get real close, or you have to pull the skin real tight.
Here you go. We have an email from Jacob. I have a few skin tags on my neck and in my armpits. Because getting them surgically removed by a dermatologist, or besides getting them surgically removed, what can I do or use to remove them? I saw a commercial for a product that claims to remove skin tags. I'm wondering what your opinion is on those kind of products.
Well, I think that what I ordinarily do is inject a little Novocaine because there's some adrenaline in it, which will help stop bleeding so that you don't have bloody armpits as you leave. But I'll inject some Novocaine into each one, then snip them off flat with the skin. Now, if you have just a few, you could wash the area with alcohol, clean a little scissors with alcohol, and snip it off, and you should be able to get rid of them, but they'll bleed a bit. So I think that's about the most direct way to take care of it.
Okay. Sharon in Appleton. Hi, thanks for calling.
Yes, hi.
What can we do for you?
Yes, I have a 25-year-old daughter that has had seriously itchy scalp issues for most of her life. She has sensory sensitivities, strong ones in all areas. She has porcelain delicate skin that burns easily, and her hair must be washed in the morning because it gets too greasy if it's washed the night before. She's gone to a dermatologist and then tried T-gel and a variety of different kind of products, and nothing seems to help. Rinsing her scalp after washing it quite a bit. Would you have? I mean, it's a really big issue, and we just don't know where to go with it. Would you happen to have any ideas?
Well, everybody's psoriasis or dandruff of the scalp can be taken care of, but there are conditions where it's more difficult. And if people have, and I'm not familiar too much with sensory sort of overload problems, but there are cortisone solutions you could put in. There is one that is peanut oil-based, and so rather than being an alcohol-water combination, it's a real thin oil, and just that oil and cortisone, I would think that would be a really safe and simple thing to use in the scalp, and then you shampoo it off, leave it in overnight and shampoo it off in the morning. That, I think, would be the next step along the line. That's called DermaSmooth, but it's a prescription. But I think that might be worth a try.
Okay.
All right, give it a shot. Thank you very much for calling, Sharon. Have open lines. We'll get you on fairly quickly at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Good email question here from Roxanne. Approaching retirement, looking for ways to reduce spending. I've used the more expensive department store skincare products and have had good results. But if I switch to products like Oil of Olay, will I get the same results? Are the products the same quality?
We have no idea if cosmetics are all made in the same place in South Carolina and put in different jars and then distributed around with different prices. That might be an overstatement of what's going on, but for all we know, the cheap ones are as good as the expensive ones. Now, about skincare, the idea that if you're using one of these products, these kits that you wash your face with something, then you put on this non-alcohol-y kind of stuff, and then you put on some lubricant, or, as I would say, some petroleum distillates from Saudi Arabia, you got to wonder if any of those things do anything. Men are ignorant barbarians, and Larry would probably agree with that, but we don't do anything. We just wash our face and call it good. Women do lots of stuff, and they don't really get any better from it. Moisturizers can be helpful in the dead of winter. No one needs a moisturizer 2 weeks ago on your face. Wrinkles don't come from dry skin, so that's a whole different idea. So you can save lots of money because you don't need any of that stuff.
Mike in Park Falls, let's go to you. Hi, Mike.
This is Mike.
Yes, hey, Mike. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay. I've got a quick question for you. I had what the dermatologist called it was psoriasis on the palm of my hand, and it was like a kind of a callus, and then it would crack. And then it would really hurt a lot, you know, it would bleed a little bit and everything.
Yep.
And I was wondering if that was related to stress at all. And the reason I'm asking is because I had it for about 2 years. I'm 59, and I had it for about 2 years. I got divorced, and in 3 months it was completely gone, and that was 2 years ago.
Wow.
Okay. Well, I have a bias that says, in my way of thinking, that stress causes nothing, but I know that I'm way out on the edge of that one. If you can make yourself worse by thinking about it, you should be able to make yourself better by thinking something else. So I don't really buy that. Stress is, you know, more of a perception. But psoriasis is a real physical problem, and you may have the psoriasis on your palm because of injuring your hand and working. Psoriasis comes in areas that are injured, but also psoriasis comes and goes, and it is a miserable condition on the palm. You might use super glue in the crack. There are strong cortisones on the surface, some non-cortisones on the surface, and injecting cortisone, even though that's uncomfortable, can make that spot go away for quite a while.
Over my palms. I mean, it was like, you know, pretty bad, where you couldn't really grip anything.
Wow.
And now it's like completely gone.
No, amazing. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for calling. Kimmy, in a Facebook question, wonders, what are the best acne treatments for young teens, 14 years old?
The acne treatments doesn't make any difference if you're 14 or 19. They're all the same treatments, and they consist of antibiotics on the surface of the skin, or oral, if your acne's sort of bad, the pimply part is sort of bad, and either benzoyl peroxides, which are over-the-counter, or Retin-A kinds of things, Differin, Retin-A, Tazorac. These are vitamin A derivative creams that can unclog the pores. So there are some combination creams that have benzoyl peroxide and antibiotic in it, or Retin-A and antibiotic, that can be helpful. Oftentimes insurers aren't covering those because they seem to be quite expensive. But there are simple ways of taking care of everybody's acne. Anybody's acne can be taken care of, from the most mild to the most severe.
Brian and Hazel Green, hello.
Hi. I have my wife has got an issue with psoriasis. At least it's been diagnosed with psoriasis on her feet. She's been dealing with it for over a year now, and it's extremely debilitating. She can practically not function as a normal person would. She's been on all sorts of steroid creams, and seems like little is helping. What options does she have?
Well, the options are to make her a lot better by a couple of things. So if you're not making progress and you're debilitated, which is really odd, I think, one of the options is to be on methotrexate, which is an anti-cancer. But you take a tiny dose, and patients with psoriasis do very well with that. Another possibility is a shot of cortisone that might go in the muscle, and that can wipe it out for a few months and get her back to functioning. And then sometimes by starting over with the psoriasis, maybe coming back gradually, then the creams and ointments can work when you don't have much psoriasis. But we need to get her back literally on her feet, and there are ways to do that. I wouldn't waste any time trying to get that done.
So what was that one, the first medication you...
Methotrexate.
Methotrexate, okay.
All right. Good luck, Brian.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for calling. Michelle in Baraboo. Hi.
Hi. I have a question about people's pore size, especially on their face. Some people all have very, very tight pores. Some have it wider. If they're wider, is it because it's not cleaning your face? And really, what should you be doing in order to have very small pores because your face looks better?
Most people have big pores, and it's a function of maybe not looking closely at them. We look at our own faces a lot more closely and a lot more critically. Pores are large. They have the dark spot in the pore, the dark clog in the pore is the way you are. Your pore size is the way you are, and you cannot change it. The dark stuff in a pore is the normal stuff that comes out of the hair follicle, the oil gland, the dead skin, the oil, and because you're a pigmented person, then that when that hits the oxygen of the air, then it oxidizes and turns dark. But you can take your fingers and sort of push out some of the stuff that's inside the hair follicle, and it's white, but then after a short time, it turns dark on the surface of the skin. So an albino would have white clogged up pores, but they're really the normal pores, and dirt and washing don't do anything to get rid of the normal part that's in a pore.
Hmm.
So what should you be doing to wash your face? Just like an average person, what would you recommend? Soap and water, you know, a specific product?
I always recommend Cetaphil cleanser or CeraVe cleanser. These are really gentle skin cleansers. A little bit and some water, wash your face, and you're all done. Other soaps can be sort of harsh, and then one would tend to dry your skin out. Then you would tend to put on moisturizer. Again, that's petroleum distillates from Saudi Arabia, just gum up the pores.
Hmm.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. It's kind of related to this. Then Stephanie has an email to us. So if women don't need any facial products, what do you suggest as a facial care regimen for someone who wears makeup?
Well, I think just washing with a gentle cleanser should be all that you have to do. I'm not saying that there aren't 10 times or 50 times or 100 times in the dead of winter that a face might get dry and you need to use some moisturizer. But I know that the right number is not 365, and I know the right number is not 365 times 2. So I think a really gentle cleanser, which is usually, again, like the Cetaphil, most of the cleansers that come with those combination skincare programs are fairly harsh.
Katrina in Milwaukee. Hi, thank you for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, I have disseminated actinic keratosis, and I get little spots all over my legs and arms.
Yeah.
And some of them get kind of bright red if I'm out in the sun, you know, the first couple times of the year or whatever. But I've had them removed in the past with I think it's liquid nitrogen. But it gets kind of expensive to have that done. So I'm wondering, is there a do-it-yourself way of getting them off, like, you know, putting like a wart remover on it or something to burn off that skin?
So actinic porokeratosis, I'll put that prefix in front of that. It's an interesting thing where you have individual little red spots that are scaly at the edge. Mm-hmm. There are oral medicines that can help. And like Accutane, which is a vitamin A derivative drug that cures teenage acne, and Retin-A that can help on the surface of the skin, along with cortisone creams to help calm that down. I suppose that would be a general treatment to help prevent it and improve it. And then the other possibility is you could try those over-the-counter non-liquid nitrogen refrigerants that Compound W makes and see if that helps them go away. I don't tend to like to remove them because they leave red spots also, and they may not heal up the right color. I like the prescriptions that help prevent them and help get rid of them.
So you'd actually take a medicine, and that would make them go away, or it would just prevent new ones?
It can make them go away. Using Retin-A on the surface can make them go away and prevent new ones.
Oh, okay. And then Accutane, that's like dangerous for younger people, Accutane?
No.
No?
You shouldn't get pregnant when you're on it. You must not get pregnant when you're on it, but it's not
dangerous.
So
if you're older, if you're in your 50s, it's a safe drug?
It's a safe drug all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Unless you're pregnant.
Yeah.
No,
definitely not that, eh?
No. Okay, so the wart remover, though, if I did that myself, and if I know that's what the spots are, that's not harmful? It's just maybe...
Well, it freezes the bejesus out of your skin, and then you form a blister and it goes away. So whether that's harmful or not is what your definition is. You might try someplace to see if you have a big reaction to it or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Worth a try.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yep, thanks, Katrina. And Dr. Niles, thank you so much. Boy, the time flew.
We got through the hour, the 45 minutes again, Larry, somehow.
Oh, yeah, it was great. Thank you so much, and I look forward to your next visit. Appreciate it.
Happy to be on with you, Larry. Have a great day.
You too. Dr. Dick Niles, a dermatologist. He practices in Oconomowoc and also in Watertown. He's been a regular guest for a long time, and great to have him back. Just looking ahead to tomorrow, we're going to zero in on wildlife issues a bit. Jamie Nack and David Drake, they are both with the University of Wisconsin, actually, and David's a professor in wildlife ecology. Talk about hunting and trapping and also about other outdoor activities. Stay with us.